Welcome to the LifeLink Church podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
All right, you guys, are you ready to celebrate today? I'm so excited. I am just thrilled about what God's doing in our church. The last couple of Sundays have been phenomenal. We wrapped up a series called Party People last month, and as we're working our way through this, we started into a brand new month and started the month off with our Resurrection Sunday last Sunday. Paint the Town Red, we were talking about, and God did some extraordinary things as our communities and culture celebrated Easter. We celebrated His resurrection with an expressive, purposed focus, and I want to give you some stats. You guys want to hear a little bit about what God did as a result of the weekend last Sunday? Get ready for this. We had a chance to serve 1,268 people in worship last weekend, which I think is a lot of fun. It was pretty cool. It was a privilege to share a message called Paint the Town Red. We use a big red rope to illustrate the redemptive plan and purpose of God weaving its way through all of history up to the point of our lives today, what Jesus did for us and how that moves us into eternity. Very excited about that. And then at the end of that message, let me give you some things that I think you're going to celebrate with, and that is this. In our auditorium, grades 7 through adults, we had 88 people who made decisions to follow Jesus. Check this out. 5th and 6th grade, we had 18, and in our kids' ministry, we had 48, which is a total of 154 people that said yes to Jesus last week, and I think that is extraordinary. I love it. So heaven's been celebrating all week long, and we're just getting started. Today, we're going to celebrate what God does with those who say yes on that first step with a brand new start, with a fresh relationship with Jesus, and He says, now I want you to take the next step, which is water baptism. And so, here's what I know. Many of you received calls to say thank you for your yes last Sunday on Easter Sunday. Now, this Sunday is going to be about water baptism. And when you say yes to Jesus in a fresh and brand new way, we encourage you to take the next step that Jesus said take, which is water baptism. We'll be prepared for you today. Many of you came prepared to be water baptized today. So I'm going to dismiss you now so you can go change clothes. Here's what we're going to do to help you with that. Would everybody stand right now so that people can, our chairs are kind of packed in tight. But when I count to three, if you are ready to go get baptized and you said yes last Sunday and you're ready for it today, you have a head start getting through our changing areas. Let me give you the directions. I'll need you to aim for that door in the back because the men's changing area and the women's changing area are in two different rooms on that side of the building. We're set for everything you need to get changed and ready to go. The congregation is standing to celebrate you. So on the count of three, when I say go, then I want to congregation, let's go for it. We'll celebrate them. And if you're ready to go, then head out that direction. Ready? One, two, three. Woohoo! Come on, you guys. Let them hear you. Love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. Jesus is doing some big stuff right now. I love it. People are moving to the back, ready to go. This is going to be awesome. All right. Well, listen, while you're here in the auditorium, I want to encourage you to have a seat. Buckle in because God has something He wants to do in and for you. Here's what I want you to know, and I'm telling you this up front so you're not surprised by it. And I apologize for those of you that are sitting on the far side of the tank on this side over here, Chone and company over here, Mary and you guys, and those of you that I can't see on that side, I promise you my heart is seeing you. You're not being left out, okay? Everybody, we're all good? And I'll preach this sermon as fast as I can so you don't feel like you're just kind of staring at a black tank for nothing. Who was that just popped up way over there? I see you. Thanks for sitting over there. Hey, can we give our wing folks a big hand today? Thank you guys for sitting out there. That's awesome. Well, here's the thing. I want to tell all of you that Jesus brought you here for something. And I know that perhaps you thought, no, Jesus didn't bring me here. My wife drugged me here. My neighbors drugged me here. My parents drugged me here. I'm in here. I don't want to be. I'm here with prejudice. I'm here with duress. But I want you to know that God brought you here for something. Because He knows what we're going to talk about today, which is what it means to follow Jesus and how important that really is. And here's what I know from last service. There were over a dozen people who listened to the message in the first service. Over a dozen people listened to that. And as we worked our way through that sermon, the Holy Spirit was beginning to talk to them and say, this is for you today. This is for you today. And many of them have actually been in church for a long time and all these other things, but they could tell God was doing something fresh and new in them. And with a childlike faith to just say yes to Jesus, even though sometimes we don't understand it, they stepped out of their plan and into God's purpose. And over a dozen people said yes to water baptism in the last service. And I want you to know, I fully expect something along the same lines in here today, which means I'm telling you up front, I'm coming for you. I'm just kidding. Actually, Jesus wants you to hear this. So would you open your minds, would you open your hearts and let Jesus get a hold of you today? All right, why? Because what we're going to talk about has an enormous implication for your life that you're living right now and eternity. So let's listen to how Jesus describes this. In everything, relationship with God is the most important thing. And so a lot of times we in our mind think, oh yeah, I know all about that. But knowing something about Jesus and being in relationship with him are two drastically different things. And one of the key things that helps facilitate a relationship is something called obedience. We're going to talk about that, although wait for the next probably 10 minutes or 12 minutes, we're going to talk about the function obedience has to the application of what makes relationship with God possible. It's the difference between religion and relationship. But so that you don't think this is simply a Bible study about eternity, it actually makes a difference in this life too. I've got two videos I want to show you. And I want to start by asking you to watch this first one because I want you to know that God makes a difference not just in eternity with our yesterday. He makes a difference in our today. So let's watch this together and we'll get right into the scriptures together.
7 months ago, we moved from the East Coast to Arizona to be with our grandchildren. And what I thought was going to be a big change in our life and our marriage turned out to be devastation. In fact, we were hitting rock bottom. Our marriage was on the outs, definitely. And I was really feeling desolate and forlorn. So we went through Growth Track, which is learning about LifeLink and its purpose. And that was the first time that we did that, the first group, right? Mm-hmm. And I had known that baptisms come after, you know, on that day that you do the first growth track. And my husband was like, I think I'm gonna get baptized. And I was like, I've done it, not gonna do it. You know, you on your own. But after class, I was like, I kind of want that freedom too.
I was convicted in the first 20 minutes of that class.
Yeah.
Yes. I knew I needed to be home. I needed to find God. I needed to find my way and to save my marriage also. Knowing that when you have God in your life, that you're able to make your wife happy, your family happy, and it's just been a journey, and I'm enjoying every step of the way.
Yeah, tell them about our baptism experience.
Oh, baptism experience.
Oh, man.
Was great.
It was two children in the front, and I was crying then just seeing them. And then I went before you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I said what the pastor Dave said to say, and when I went under the water, I let go of a lot of regret, shame, guilt, and mistakes that I had made in the past. Came back up, I just was like rooting more for myself and my new journey. And like you said, resurrection with Christ, I buried all of that. And the support staff at LifeLink Church was cheering us on, and then yes. I saw my husband get baptized, right?
Oh yeah, baptism was great for me. When Pastor Tom dipped me in that water, felt like I was able to leap up and slam dunk on a basketball court. But I was in the pool,
yeah,
feeling very nice and cool, and enjoyed the feeling after. The feeling after was great. Felt like I released everything that I had negative in my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I could look at my wife with a true loving heart that wow. God has blessed me with.
Can we just celebrate that today? I love that. I love that. A couple of things I want to point out to you today is that both of them attended that class and neither one of them planned to get baptized. In the moment of listening to the Word of God, they actually opened their heart and said, I'm going to just follow what you say, Jesus, and open their lives up to what God wanted in a brand new season. And it clearly is making a difference for them in this life, not just their eternity. I also want to point out to you that they mentioned that there were some kiddos that got baptized right in front of them. And I want you to know today that I know our kids are in here. Kids, this service is not just for all us old people. This is for you too. I was actually baptized when I was 7 years old. Jesus touched my heart in a worship service similar to this. And I went and asked my mom, "Hey, Mom, can I get baptized?" And she just said, "If you're ready to say yes to Jesus and give your life to him, then you can." And so I went and got baptized. And it wasn't something I planned to do. It wasn't something our parents were planning for me to do. But I sensed God touched me. So I want you to know, for whatever age you are in here today, this message is for you. And parents, if your child says, "Hey, I want to give my life to Jesus today," I would encourage you to let God actually work whatever way he wants to into their little hearts and lives. You never know what God's going to do, even at 6 or 7 or 8 years old. I know for me, it was a difference maker. So I want you to know, everybody here, this message is for us today. Got it? All right. So clearly, saying yes to Jesus, stepping into the steps that he gives us for this life, makes a difference in this life. Not just eternity, in this life too. But I do want to be clear that saying yes to Jesus in this life is what actually lines us up for his heaven in eternity too. And I want to say this to you this morning and ask you to open your hearts and minds to something, because Jesus actually knows how it works. In fact, the Bible says he left heaven to come to earth to pay for our redemption and then tell us how to get there. Does that make sense? Functionally, he is our way. He left heaven, he came to earth. He paid for our sins with his life. That's what we celebrated last week. Was raised again on the third day. And before he left, he gave us some instructions. And these are some of the things I want to talk to you today, because he wasn't confused when he said what he said while he was here. This is how we align ourselves with God and his plan for our lives here and for eternity too. And here's what I know. Heaven is real and hell is hot. And what do you have to lose by simply saying yes to Jesus and going his way? Really, if you just get practical, sometimes it's worth just taking a risk and saying, "If Jesus, if that's what you say, then I'm going to go for it." Let me tell you how you can know for sure that God's talking to you about this today. As I go through this, I'm going to be teaching and preaching the scripture, God's word. I know, because you're still sitting here, you did not come planning to get baptized, which means if you start wondering, "Am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do this?" You can know for sure that wasn't you, because you didn't come planning for this. Fair enough? Let me tell you who else you can rest assured it's not. It's not the devil. The last thing the devil wants is you to say yes to Jesus in any qualitative obedient way, which only leaves one other option. It's God saying, "I want you to listen. I want you to lean in. I want you to take a step of obedience." And I'm just positioning that way to you because LifeLink is all about helping people find and follow Jesus. We're here to help link people and God together for life. And the way we do it is through obedience and celebrating together what God does. Here's what Jesus said about what we're talking about today. It's all about relationship. He said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, "Not everybody who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of" what? Heaven. "But only he or the person who" what? "Does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So he's clearly saying God is going to say how this is going to work, and he's going to tell you what to do. The people who get into heaven are the people who obey what God says. Does that make sense? So it really doesn't matter what we think, how we feel. It doesn't matter what our opinion is or what our parents taught us or what our culture says around us. The only thing that matters when we quit breathing in this life and step into eternity is, did we say yes to what Jesus said while he was here? Jesus is very clear about that. Does that make sense? That's who gets into heaven. "Many will say to me on that day," that day means the day you stand before him in eternity and you give an account for your life. He said, "Many will say, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles?'" Let me pause here just for a quick second and say this. Here's what's going to happen. There will be people who actually knew enough about Jesus to say, "Hey, I called you Lord. While I was there on earth, I knew some things about you, and I did some Christian-looking things. Let me tell you why I belong in heaven, Jesus, in case you're wondering. Number one, I cast out demons in your name. Number two, I prophesied in your name. Number three, I did miracles in your name." What's that say? I had religious-sounding words. I did religious looking stuff. And by the way, that's not little things. That, notice what's not on the list is I was sweet to kind old ladies. I helped my neighbor with their dog. No, that's the shallow end of the pool. Notice Jesus used the deep end of the pool. I prophesied. I cast out demons and they left. I did miracles and they happened. Do you see what I'm saying? What he's saying is all the evidence we look at to feel and judge the way we think a person stands with God doesn't make a hill of beans worth the difference. The only thing that matters is, did you follow Jesus? How do we know that? Listen to what he said. They'll say, didn't we do all these things? And then verse 23 says, then I will tell them plainly, very clearly, I never knew you. You know what the no means? Doesn't mean I didn't know about you. God's word is very clear. God knows, has knowledge of everything. He's omniscient. He has all knowledge of everything. There's nothing he doesn't know. What Jesus was specifically relating to is we didn't know each other in relationship. We did not have relationship. Does that make sense? We've got plenty of kids in here, so I can't really describe that a lot deeper, but it's essentially the proximity of closeness that facilitates relationship. Does that make sense between a husband and wife? Everybody get it? That's the function God's saying. We didn't know each other. You just knew some things about me. You looked pretty religious. In fact, you fooled yourself and a lot of other people too. But on the inside where it mattered most, you weren't following me. You didn't stay close to me. What's he saying? Well, clearly everything hinges on relationship with God. Everything hinges on relationship with God. Listen to what Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 16. We all know this is pretty well. For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, that whoever, what's the word? Believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Let me define the word believe so that this is not unclear to you as well. Believe simply doesn't simply mean I have knowledge of or I acknowledge that Jesus exists. That's not what believe means. Believe means I receive him as he is and align my life to his reality. How did he present himself to be? That he presented himself as God, my Lord, and I actually live under his lordship. I follow him. I don't just know about him. I do what he says. I follow him step by step by step through life. That's what it means. Now, I love how Jesus is so clear about this. John chapter 14, verse 23 says this. Jesus is explaining, everyone who loves me will do what I say. All right? So he's saying, if you love me, you'll do what I say. If you love me, you'll obey me. Is that clear?
Yep.
Okay, that's what he says. And then he says this. He sharpens it up again. He says, anyone who doesn't love me will not what? Obey me. In other words, he's directly associating love and obedience. And remember, my words are not my own. I'm telling you what the Father sent me to say. In other words, he says, I want you to know God sent me from heaven to tell you this is how it works. So it really doesn't matter what you think or how you feel or what your imagination is or what your culture is or what your people say or any of those things. The only thing that's ever going to really matter is this one thing we're talking about. Do we have relationship? Do you follow me? Do you obey me? So obeying Jesus is loving Jesus. Being familiar with Jesus, knowing some things about him, saying to other people, I'm a Christian, none of this stuff actually matters. Jesus is very clear in Matthew chapter 7 that the issue becomes down to the fact it's not whether you have knowledge of me. In fact, the Bible says in James chapter 2, even the demons actually believe. They acknowledge Jesus is the Son of God. Even the demons believe that and tremble even, but they're not following him. Why is that important? Because Jesus is giving us the understanding in a very clear way that following him, obeying him, following him, letting him lead you through life is the way we align our lives with who he is and his kingdom, and we follow that leadership all the way through this life into eternity in relationship with him. Let me give you a functional illustration. Obi, can you help me again? All right, jump up here with me. This is Obi. Everyone give Obi a hand. Now he knows what he's into. The first service, everybody's like, oh my gosh, what's he going to do? But now he knows. Okay, remember the routine?
Yes, sir.
Okay, all right. So let's just say that Obi is pretending to be Obi, and I'm pretending to be Jesus. Okay, everybody got it? I like this part because I get to pretend to be Jesus. It's so much fun. It's all pretend. It's just for illustration. All right, so let's say that Obi just said, Jesus, I accept you as my God, and I choose to follow you as my Lord and my Savior. Why? Because all the scriptures we just said, it became real to me, and I don't want to miss out just because I've always thought something else. I want to actually follow you now. So let's say we just had that conversation. He's feeling warm. He's feeling excited. All this brand new excitement's there. And then I say, good. Now, Obi, I'm going to lead you through the rest of your life into blessings. I'm going to lead you places you could never imagine. I'm going to lead you all the way through your life into eternity. Just follow me so we stay in relationship. And then I say, the first thing I want you to do is take this step. And then I'm going to want you to take this step. Now, I know you won't understand it, and it won't make sense, but I want you to take this step. And then what I want you to do is take this step. And then I want you to stop doing that and take this step. And then I want you to start doing this and take this step. Then I know this won't make sense to you either because it looks something different, but take this step with me. And then this doesn't make sense either, but I want you to stop doing that and take this step. What am I doing? I'm leading him through life into my way of life and into eternity. All right? Is he following me? Nice. This is a perfect example of what often happens to people, and they don't realize they're setting themselves up for a huge disappointment we just read about. Oh, yeah, I met you. I kind of shook the preacher's hand. I said a prayer one day. I did this. I did that. But I didn't follow you through life. I didn't actually take the steps you said. I just knew some things about you. Do you see it? And Jesus said, there's going to be lots of people who stand before me on that day and say, and I'll say, I didn't know you. Why? Because we met once. But I walked on to lead you away, and you didn't follow me, which means there's no relationships. We just had a conversation. Relationship means, hey, Obi, follow me. Now, this is not going to make sense, but I want you to take this step. Then I want you to take this step. Now, this didn't make sense, but take this step. And then try me on this one. Trust me here. This didn't make sense. Take me this step. Now, what's he doing? Step by step. Did all the steps make sense? No. In fact, they probably felt foolish to him. But he's following me, right? Now we have a relationship. Got it? Guess where he's going? Through life into blessings and through life's end into eternity. In relationship. Why? Because he took that step, then he took that step, then he took that step. Got it? Thank you, man. Right. So I'm asking you to consider in a profound moment of realization, are you actually following Jesus through your life? And here's how you know. When you're about to make a decision, you got a comment to make to somebody, you're about to text something on Instagram, you're about to whatever it is, do you actually say, Jesus, what do we think about this? When you're choosing your outfits to wear, do we talk to Jesus about this? Hey, what do you care if I wear this today? When you're about to decide whether you're going to pay your taxes or not, do you ever say, hey, Jesus, should we pay our taxes? When you're about to answer your husband or wife who's really ticked you off about something, do you actually run that filter, hey, Jesus, how do we respond to this right now? Or do you just do whatever you want in the moment, whenever you want? Who are you actually following through life? That makes sense? That's a key. And my observation for you today and my hope is you'd be willing to have an honest conversation with yourself and say, who am I following right now? Because if I'm not following Jesus step by step, then somewhere along the way, I've stopped following. I may know some things about him. I may fool myself. I may do many miracles. I may prophesy and cast out demons. I may fool everybody else. Am I willing to risk stepping through the end of life into eternity, whether it's this afternoon in a car wreck or whether it's the end of good old age and natural causes? I have no idea. Or whether it's the return of Christ himself, as we see in the book of Revelation. I don't know. But are you willing to risk that option? Or wouldn't it be better just to say, I'm not sure about this. And here's what I know. Right now, about 36 of your heart just started beating a little bit faster. You're like, is he talking about me? Guarantee you, that's not the devil. That's Jesus saying, hey, pay attention. I'm trying to save you from disappointment in this life, and I want to make sure you're ready for that one too. Aren't you glad you came to church today? So Jesus, after he paid the price with his own body and his own life, was raised from the dead. The scripture says he actually went back to heaven in physical form, The Holy Spirit came to actually be with us and comfort us and encourage us and lead us and guide us through the rest of the journey of life. And we become the body of Christ and we say yes to Jesus, all those things. But here's what I want you to see. Jesus told the people that were watching him go that day, he said, I'm going to give you some final instructions. These are the steps I want you to take. He said, now, they followed him all the way up. Why? Because they believed in him. They followed him up the mountain. He was about to leave. They were clearly his disciples, his followers. He said, now, this is what I want you and everyone who follows you to do. I want believers everywhere to do this. I want you to go and make disciples. Everyone say disciples. Disciple doesn't mean student. A student learns facts and knowledge and information about a subject. They may look well-versed in whatever it is they've chosen to study, but he didn't say, go make students. He said, go and make disciples. You know what a disciple is? A follower. A disciple is not a student. A disciple is a follower. He said, I want you to go and make followers of all nations. That's people everywhere. And then he says, what's the next step? Baptizing them. First step, choose to follow me. Second step, water baptism. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey, obey, obey. What's obey mean? Do. Not think about. Have warm, fuzzy feelings about even. It's actually do. All the things that I've commanded you. Yeah, but that doesn't make sense. Yeah, but I always thought. And Jesus says, it doesn't matter. Trust me in this. Just trust me in this. That's why at LifeLink Church, we don't pull away from water baptism. We say it exactly like we see it in Scripture. Why? Because we believe following Jesus in everything, including water baptism, the way Jesus did it himself and the way he describes it in Scripture is actually important. And we don't shy, we don't pull back, we don't water it down, we don't try to make it easy. We just say, hey, this is it. In fact, what we will do is make it very clear, and then we'll make it easy for you to say yes to. Why? Because we believe that taking this step with Jesus is actually important. In fact, the truth of it is, to be honest, if you can't take this one, usually you can't take the rest of them either. Because he's going to teach you how to treat your husband. He's going to teach you how to treat your wife. He's going to teach you how to raise your kids. And all these are disciplines and celebrations and choices that are not the same as our culture thinks. And I just want to encourage you today to open your heart, say yes to Jesus, and take the next step, yes to water baptism. Yeah, but Pastor Dave, I already did that. In fact, when I was 6 weeks old, my parents baptized me. The priest sprinkled me and all that stuff. And I think that's a wonderful idea. It's a wonderful gesture. It's not at all like the baptisms you see in Scripture. In fact, to be honest with you, that tradition was started about 300 years after the Bible was completed. So that's not actually what we see in Scripture as baptism. It's a wonderful feeling about parents promising to do their best to raise children in the church, and I think that's a wonderful thing. But actual water baptism, like the Scripture talks about it, is very different than that. In fact, all 27 baptisms in the New Testament were done after a person said yes to Jesus and began to believe in him, and then they were immersed in the water just like he was immersed in the water, being fully submersed under it and then brought back up, symbolizing his death, burial, and resurrection. Here's what I believe with all my heart. There's many of you in here thinking, you know what? I probably should do this. I'm wondering if I should do this. In fact, is he really talking about me? Pastor Davis, like you're staring at me. Well, I can't really see you as individuals. But that's God talking to you. And I would encourage you today to actually say yes. In just a moment, to be honest with you, I'm going to ask everyone to stand, and I'm going to ask those of you that have the courage to say yes to Jesus in a fresh new season, and yes to water baptism, to step out of your seats and join me at the front. We'll dismiss you, and we'll take care of whatever else it takes to actually help you get ready to say yes to Jesus in water baptism. But let me tell you why I think many of you may be sitting here thinking, oh, I can't do this today. I'm not ready for this. Let me talk you through what could be stopping you. You may be thinking, oh, it's a great idea. I'd love to do it, but I don't have a towel. We have 100 of them. We got that one covered. Yeah, Pastor Dave, I can't get baptized in this. That's my good Sunday clothes. I want you to know we have clothes for you too. Here's what we have in our changing rooms for men and women. We've got a shirt that says, I've decided. This is a shirt you're going to get baptized in and take this one home. This is our gift to you. And so we've got shirts for you. We've got shorts for you to wear. We've got clothes for you to wear. We've got the things you wear under your clothes, whether guys, we've got your undergarments, you know, the lowers. Ladies, we've got the lowers and the uppers. We got it all covered. We got you covered with that. We got private changing rooms for you to change. You don't have to go change in the big room in front of everybody. I'm trying to think what else could be. Oh, my family's not here with me. See these cameras in the back? These are pictures going to be taken of you and plastered up for everybody to see so your family can watch you and enjoy that too. I'm trying to think whatever. The only thing less is just, would you be willing to say yes to Jesus? And it's just that easy. If you're in here, I bet you there are 36 people in here today who said, and you know it's you because your pulse is coming up. You're actually looking at your clock thinking, when is this service going to be over? He's 10 minutes. It's got to be over in 10 minutes. If that's you, this is probably your chance. Okay? If your last 6 minutes you looked at your watch, that's a sure sign. Guys, I'm just kidding. But the reality is, if you feel anything at all wondering, is this me? Am I supposed to do this? Remember, the devil would never want you to say yes to Jesus in any form of obedience. Number two, you weren't planning on it, so it isn't you. There's only one other option, and that's Jesus going, hey, let's do this. I want to know you in a fresh new way. So would you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, give us courage, give us grace to do this today. I want to thank you, Lord, for it in Jesus' name. Amen. A little bit different than the last service, but I can have the band go ahead and come on up. I feel the Holy Spirit doing something right now. I had a separate video I was going to show you, but I don't think this is the time. I want everybody to stand right now. I'm going to ask, would y'all just kind of stay right here? Please don't bolt for the doors. There's people moving around to help people get ready to be baptized, and that's cool. But I want you to talk to yourself and say, listen. Follow through with what Jesus is talking to you about. In about 30 seconds, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, I'm going to ask you to make a beeline to the front. All right? The whole church is going to be cheering for you. Why? Because you're taking a step out of your own ideas and into the palm of the grip of Jesus Christ himself. And God's going to walk you through the rest of your life and his blessings and into eternity. And you'll be thankful that on April the 8th, 2018, you said, yes, this is the day. This guy's going to use to make a difference. Would you do that? This is the time. You ready? I've already gone through all the excuses why you shouldn't, why you can't. The truth is no reason. It's one decision away. One decision. All of heaven is pulling for you. Everybody around you is cheering for you. You're like, yeah, but what's people going to say? They all think I'm a Christian. That's fine. They won't be standing there when Jesus says, okay, now let's talk about your life. Nobody's going to be standing, just you and him. Wouldn't it be better to have said, I wasn't willing to risk it. I'm going to say yes to that. Okay? You ready? I'm going to count to three, and if that's you, I'm going to ask you to slip out of your seats and join me at the front. We're going to watch God do something great. Ready? One. This isn't complicated. It's simple. Would you be willing, with childlike faith, just to say yes to something Jesus said? Here's what I want you to do. Two. Yeah, but I'm wondering. Don't wonder. Just step into it. Trust Jesus. He's going to lead you through the rest of this life and into eternity. Wouldn't it be better to be following him all the way through this life?
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.